Between them, they picked him up despite his feeble protests and insults. The metal was so hot it nearly blistered their fingers, but he weighed surprisingly little and hung limply between their arms. They carried him with them along the path that ran along the left of the great red plain of Ra's towards the encircling mountains of Quenchilus Quasgar. Arthur attempted to explain to Fenchurch, but was too often interrupted by Marvin's dolorous cybernetic ravings. They tried to see if they could get him some spare parts at one of the booths and some soothing oil, but Marvin would have none of it. "I'm all spare parts," he droned. "Let me be," he groaned. "Every part of me," he moaned, "has been replaced at least 50 times, except..." He seemed almost imperceptibly to brighten for a moment. His head bobbed between them with the effort of memory. "Do you remember the first time you ever met me?" he said at last to Arthur. "I had been given the intellect-stretching task of taking you up to the bridge. I mentioned to you that I had this terrible pain in all the diodes down my left side, that I had asked for them to be replaced, but they never were." He left a longish pause before he continued. They carried him on between them, under the baking sun that hardly ever seemed to move, let alone set. "See if you can guess," said Marvin, when he judged that the pause had become embarrassing enough, "which parts of me were never replaced. Go on. See if you can guess." "Ouch," he added. "Ouch, ouch, 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 ouch." At last they reached the last of the little booths, set down Marvin between them and rested in the shade. Fenchurch bought some cufflinks for Russell, cufflinks that had set in them little polished pebbles which had been picked up from the Quenchilus Quasgar mountains directly underneath the letters of fire in which was written God's final message to his creation. Arthur flipped through a little rack of devotional tracts on the counter, little meditations on the meaning of the message. "Ready?" he said to Fenchurch, who nodded. They heaved up Marvin between them. They rounded the foot of the Quenchilus Quasgar mountains, and there was the message written in blazing letters along the crest of the mountain. There was a little observation vantage point with a rail built along the top of a large rock facing it, from which you could get a good view. It had a little pay telescope for looking at the letters in detail, but no one would ever use it because the letters burned with the divine brilliance of the heavens and would, if seen through a telescope, have severely damaged the retina and optic nerve. They gazed at God's final message in wonderment and were slowly and ineffably filled with a great sense of peace and of final and complete understanding. Fenchurch sighed. "Yes," she said. "That was it." They had been staring at it for fully 10 minutes before they became aware that Marvin, hanging between their shoulders, was in difficulties. The robot could no longer lift his head, had not read the message. They lifted his head, but he complained that his vision circuits had almost gone. They found a coin and helped him to the telescope. He complained and insulted them, but they helped him look at each individual letter in turn. The first letter was a W, the second an E. Then there was a gap. An A followed, then a P, an O, and an L. Marvin paused for a rest. After a few moments, they resumed and let him see the O, the G, the I, the S, and the E. The next two words were for and the. The last one was a long one, and Marvin needed another rest before he could tackle it. It started with I, then N, then a C, next came an O and an N, followed by a V, an E, another N, and an I. After a final pause, Marvin gathered his strength for the last stretch. He read the E, the N, the C, and at last the final E, and staggered back into their arms. "I think," he murmured at last, from deep within his corroding, rattling thorax, "I feel good about it." The lights went out in his eyes for absolutely the very last time ever. Luckily, there was a stall nearby where you could rent scooters from guys with green wings.